Parshas Mishpatim begins with an introduction to many, many mesechtas that we know to the Torah of Ben Adam Lechaveri. How to have a society that care about each other's needs, worry about each other's property, and are careful not to chas v'sholem take something that's not theirs. And the parasha begins, Perek Chaf Aleph, Pasuk Aleph. Ve'ele ha-mishpatim asher tosim lifneihem. So Rashi's medayik, Rashi points out, it says ve'ele, with a vav. It says Rashi, kol mokoim shnema ele, anytime it says just the word ele without the vav, posal eser rishonim, it disconnects from the previous parasha. Ve'ele, if it says ve, with a vav, and these, ma'isif ala rishonim. It is continuing, it is adding on to what was said beforehand. What did it say beforehand, says Rashi? Ma harishonim is Sinai, just like the previous parasha talks about Har Sinai and Alochas of Sinai. Af elim is Sinai, these are also from Har Sinai. So Rashi says, important lesson number one is, ve'elah mishpatim, is that these halachas come from Sinai. The obvious question is, Moshe Rabbeinu did not make this up himself. Moshe Rabbeinu made nothing up himself. He was a shliach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why is it more important over here to talk about Ve'ela Mishpatim, to talk about that these halachas are from Sinai more than lulavs from Sinai, more than the halachas of Irene Dachas is from Sinai? Why dafka these? Ve'ela Mishpatim is from Sinai. Why is it more important? And it's not within context, because if you look in the parasha, the end of the parasha Mishpatim, it carries on then talking about the halachas, what the story of Nasi v'Nishma, and therefore this Eilei Mishpatim is sort of smuggled in over here for a message within the halachas of Sinai to connect it. Why is that so important to learn this from Sinai? Furthermore, the pasuk carries on and says, "Asher tosim lifneim, that you shall place in front of them." It says Rashi, "Asher tosim lifneim, omaloi Hakadosh Baruch Hu leMoshe." Hakadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, "Leisala dait chaloime." Don't think to yourself, Eshne lehem haperek v'alocha basic imal palmim, I'll teach it to them twice or three times. Ad shutehei sedur b'fiem, that it should be clear in their minds, kamishnoso. The way they learn, ve'eini matriach atzmi lehavinom tame hadovo. I'm not going to bother explaining to them the reasons behind all these halachas. Upirushoi, and the pirush behind them, an explanation behind them. Lekach ne'ma asher tosim lifneihem, put it in front of them, make it clear. Kashulchan ha'oruch, like a table that's set, umuchan lechel lifnei odam, is ready to be eaten by man. So Ramesha Feinstein asks, Dorosh Ramesha, question number one is, what's ve'eleh mishpatim? Why is it so important to say that these are from Sinai more than any other mitzvah? And secondly, why is it so important, HaKadosh Baruch Hu shtosim lifneihem, that it should be, not that they should know the halachas generically, know the halachas, you know the halachas on the outside, that it's got to be clear and understood, and where it's coming from, and why and how behind every mitzvah. Just do the how. Why is the why so important over here? Why should tosim lifneihem? The Kotzke, I've got a few beautiful pieces in this week's parasha. The Kotzke says, in his typical way, the parasha talks later on about if a ganav is found inside a tunnel. In machteres imtzah ganav. If I find a person tunneling into your house, it's halacha that most probably he's out to kill you, and therefore you have to kill him first. That's a din of bob machteres. Person comes in machteres. So Kosko says, "In be machteres, yimsa haganav." If you go to the machteres, if you look in, tunnel into yourself, if you look into who you really are, then yimsa haganav, you'll find the ganav. You'll find the yetzer hara. He says, on the surface, one doesn't see anything's wrong with one's own way of acting and practicing the halacha, but in machteres, if you dig a little deeper, then yimsa haganav, you'll find the yetzer hara, you'll find what's making you stray. And he says something else, and he says, says very nicely, he says, anshei kodesh tiuli. Anshei kodesh tiuli normally means you should be holy people. He said Yiddish, anshei kodesh. Mention heilig zolte zayin. You should be holy when it comes to and dinim of ben adam lechaveira. Anshei kodesh, the dinim of anoshin, the dinim of ben adam lechaveira, tiuli. Kodesh would be Odom Chavera, you should be. People, unfortunately, don't get this message. People ask, often. It's often the expression that the secular media bring up, unfortunately, and from people have the same question themselves. How can it possibly be that this Talmud Chacham, this Yirei Shemayim, this Erlich Yid, this holy Jew, stole money from an institution, committed this kind of crime when it comes to money, and when one feels under some kind of obligation to answer how it's possible and why some people are enticed to do such a thing. But the real answer to this is in ratio is different. Does a person ever ask you, how can a religious Jew be a Buddhist monk? How come a religious Jew is a Buddhist monk? How can a religious Jew eat chazon on Yom Kippur? What do you say to him? It's not a religious Jew eating chazon on Yom Kippur. Horaya, the proof is he's not a religious Jew, is a fact that he's eating chazon. And certainly on Yom Kippur, he isn't a religious Jew. He may look like a religious Jew, he may speak like a religious Jew, he may seem like a religious Jew, but he isn't. How can a religious Jew be a Buddhist monk? He isn't. A religious Jew can't be a Buddhist monk. To ask the question, how can a religious Jew steal, is a stirum and a obey. It's a contradiction. It cannot be. It cannot be that a person who is an Erlicher person, a person who is an Erlicher Yid, a person who has Yirei Shemayim can steal. It doesn't happen. He is not an Erlich Yid. You can't have a religious Jew, quote-unquote, being a ganav. It doesn't work. And anyone that tries to tell you otherwise is poshut misunderstands Reb Moshe, a poshut pshat in this week's parasha. Ve'ele ha-mishpotim. Says Reb Moshe, how many people go through their life and they believe that they're from Kaiten, what they have to make sure that they specialize in is ben odom lamokim. Their davening is a very strong, beautiful davening. They go to mikveh every morning. They have a learning seder. But what does the ben odom lechaveira look like? What does ben odom lechaveira look like? Well, they go to the business, and they can make a little bit extra money on the side by swindling a person, by fooling him, by fooling the taxes. That person, says Rav Moshe, is not an Erlich Yid. Is not a person who is a religious Jew who is doing something wrong. Says Reb Moshe, that lacks in the very essence of his emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A person who understands clearly, who has got the message of Har Sinai, of Anoichi Hashem Alekecho, I am Hashem, I am the only one who controls the world. I am the one who will control exactly how much money you will have. If I have decreed in Rosh Hashanah and signed it on Yom Kippur that you should be earning X amount of money, you can do whatever you want. You'll not earn more, and you will not learn less. You don't have to help a Kadosh Baruch Hu with Parnasa. We say this often. Matthew Solomon used to say, "An Erlich Yid today is somebody who recognizes the Kadosh Baruch Hu, says, 'A Kadosh Baruch Hu, stick out of my business. I know how to make business. Just do me a favor. Don't mix yourself into this. Don't mess things up for me.'" That's what we call an Erlich Yid. It's not. A person who knows that everything is from Sinai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, I am in control, there's nothing you need to do crooked in order to make a parnasa, will not start stealing from people, will not even have a Yetzer Hara to start swindling somebody. And that is an introduction to Parshas Mishpatim. How can a person keep in the straight and narrow? The desire, the twinkle of money is so strong. How will I make parnasa if I don't do that? It's the law of the jungle, everyone does it. Says Apostle Kno, Ve'ele HaMishpatim, before we start learning the halachas, know that this is from Sinai. Sinai teaches Hashem, Noich Hashem Alekecho, if a person steals, a person swindles, he is nothing less than an apikoros. An apikoros does not believe that Kodesh Baruch Hu has power to provide him with his needs. That person is lacking in a Noich Hashem Alekecho. That's Ve'ele HaMishpatim. Says Ramesha, that's very, very difficult. It's very, very difficult for a person to live their life just following Choshev Mishpat without knowing the reasons behind it. If a person learns a halacha and it is basically a law that he accepts upon himself, but doesn't internalize, doesn't make it part of him, doesn't make it part of his psyche, doesn't understand clearly enough that halachas are there in order to make a relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, that's going to make a relationship with people, ultimately, that person will be over, a person will be pulled off the tracks. And therefore says Reb Moshe, Shatosim Lifneim, you've got to make clear, you've got to make it absolutely clear to yourself why these halachas are true. why they are relevant, and how they are ultimately Divrei Elokim Chaim. This is not a piece of advice. This is Sinai. This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking. Because the desire and the pull of going and not focusing on ultimately the letter of the law is something that's very, very easy for a person if chas v'chlila they don't get clear this message, they don't get it clear into their heads that ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world and nothing you can do will help your panos in any way. Learn these mishpatim for Sina and toss them lifneim, put them in front, you get them very, very clear. What's the first pasuk? How are we introduced to mitzvah ben odom l'chaveri? So we discussed in the previous years, but there's a beautiful piece from Aznaim Torah. The parasha begins, of all the halachas of an odom l'chaveri, where do we begin? We begin with kisikne eved ivri, when you buy an eved ivri. An eved ivri is brought down in the Gemara, a Jewish slave, we're talking about somebody who is sold by Beis Din. Why did Beis Din sell him? Beis Din sold him because he stole something and he could not afford it back. So they sell him on the free market, and a person buys him and he's there as a slave, and that money goes to pay back those people that he owes money to. Again, the halacha of being obligated by Beis Din to sell oneself only applies to a gun of a person who steals something. If a person owes money because his business collapsed, he's not obligated by Beis Din to sell himself. So here we're dealing here with a criminal. If you're dealing here with a criminal, a very, very unappetizing person to begin with. Eila Mishpatim. This is the enlightened nation. These are Jewish people who are going to be teaching the world what it means to be a wonderful, wonderful light unto all of them. Right? And what do we start with? An Eved Ivri. Who's an Eved Ivri? A thief. Why start with him? Secondly, the din of Eved Ivri did not apply at the time after Torah was given. It only applies when Yovel is Noyeg. Only when you have Yovel, only when you have the 50th Jubilee year, only then is the halacha of Eved Ivri applicable. And therefore, at this time, Klai Yisrael had not yet gone into Eretz Yisrael, and therefore didn't have Yovel at that stage. So therefore, the whole concept of Eved Ivri is something which is merely theoretical at that stage. There's so many other mitzvahs in the Torah that can apply to them at that particular stage where they were in the Midbar. You find a mitzvah, you find something on the floor, dinim of shomrim, you give something to somebody else to look after. Even the halachas of stealing, okay, all these halachas can apply. But why start with an Eved Ivri which is merely theoretical? Says us Naim the Torah. And he says, this is an incredible thought. He says, who are we speaking to here? Who are we speaking to? We're speaking to a nation who had just been through 210 years of slavery. Huh? They've been through, speaking to people who have been through a Holocaust. Children have been taken and butchered. And the blood had been used for Paro's bath. Children have been bricked into the wall. These are people who have just come out of slavery for 210 years. Generations of slaves. Oh, these are kind of people you got to start teaching what it means to look after a slave. These are people who've been through the experience and know they've felt it on their own body, they've suffered, they've been tortured. These are the people you got to speak to. Speak to people who don't know what slavery is, they don't know what it's all about, and explain to them how terrible it is and how well you got to treat them, because if you don't treat them, how emotionally trying it could be. But these people know about slavery, they've just been through it. You've got to begin with the parasha Kisikne Eved Ivri. All the halachas are how to look after an Eved Ivri on the country. These are the last people who have to hear about this. So there's Naim Rotera, look around you. Look around the world that we live in, he says. Let's say the communists. The communist is a firebrand individual. Yeah, he stands up and he rides up after rank, and he becomes a leader of the communist party. And he is somebody who is fighting for human rights. He's fighting for equality. He's fighting for helping the weak portion of the population. And what happens to him? One would imagine as soon as he becomes a leader, then everything that he's preached, everything he really felt, Everything that he fought for all these years would ultimately play itself out in a stage where he is now in control of his destiny, and his control of his country's destiny, he will now put through into practice what he's been preaching. And what happens? These people, these very same people who really were sincere at the beginning, they come into a position of power and they become the same or even worse than those people that they got rid of. You've all read Animal Farm. Yeah, George Orwell, Animal Farm. It's a basic where all animals are equal, but some are just more equal than others. And that's the way it goes. Says the Znaim Matira, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us a message over here. Don't trust yourself for a second. Don't trust yourself. Don't think, you're telling me the halachas. I know how to treat avodim. I've just been an avid myself. Says the Kodesh Baruch Hu, human nature is such that from position to position in life, a person can forget everything. A person can start mistreating an avid even though he himself was an avid. A person can become a tyrant even though he himself has been fighting tyranny all his life. Such is human nature. And therefore the first parasha, the first mitzvah begins and tells us that unless you get the Torah into you, unless you understand the Divrei Elokim Chaim, and you make sure you take that on board, then you can become the same behemoth that you've been fighting all these years. Ki sikne eved ivri, because you yourself can be the worst kind of slave leader, even though you yourself were a slave. The Apostle says in Mishlim, Perik Lamud, Tachas Sholish, Gona Oretz, the three things that shake the world, Tachas Eved Ki Yimloich, an Eved who gets power and becomes a king. And therefore the first mitzvah of Torah, or Parashas Mishpatim, is don't trust yourself. You can be through the same experience, and you can think you'll come out of there knowledgeable on how to deal with it, and on the contrary, you yourself can make those people suffer, even though you were in that particular position yourself. Person believes that if he's wealthy, that wealthy people ultimately have exactly the same yetzer hara as a person who doesn't have money. It's just a person who doesn't have money is a person who doesn't have money, and a wealthy person is a person who doesn't have money with wealth. It's a different world. It's a different yetzer hara, and the contrary as well. A person who doesn't have money, a person who does money thinks that the only difference between him and somebody who doesn't have money, he's got a little bit less. No, an Oni has a desperation, has a whole different life. And people don't understand that. And even if a person becomes wealthy himself, he can very, very quickly forget the lessons of what it means to look after those people that he's responsible for. Ah, when I become wealthy, there's a famous story of two friends, Nebuch, very, very poor. True story, as far as I know. It's a marshal, I don't know it. But there were two friends, and one lived in a kind of broken down shack in the middle of the forest, and the other slightly wealthy friend who lived in town. And his friend in town used to take a bit of his money, and every week he'd put a bit of that money away, and he bought his friend in the Nebuch, his broken down friend in the, he brought him a raffle ticket, a lottery ticket. And one day he goes on the way to work, and he puts his lottery ticket, and he realizes that his friend had just won the massive jackpot. His friend now is a multimillionaire. And as quickly as he can, he scrambles through the forest and he runs up to the door and bangs on the door. And his friend said, Yeah, uncle, what do you want? What do you want? He said, what do I want? Do you know what happened today? Yeah, what? Well, tell me what happened. He said, you just won the jackpot. You're the wealthiest man in town. And you have the chutzpah of knocking on my door at 8 o'clock in the morning? What time do you think this is? You wake up the wealthiest guy at town at 8 o'clock in the morning? That's what happens. That is a koyach of forgetting where we've come from. There's a beautiful piece of Rabbi Fran brings it down in the name of the Shemen Tov. Later on in the parasha, on the same theme, it says in Perek Chof Beis, Chof Gimel, sorry, Posuk Ches. Excuse me, just one second. V'shoichad leisikach. A person will not take bribery. Ki ha-shoichet ye'ave pikchim. Because shoichad, because bribery changes, taints the perspective of a person. V'yisalef divrei tzadikim, and is able to switch, to move off the words of tzadikim. Shoichad has that power. Bribery has that power. Says the next pasuk. V'ger leisilchot. And don't let yourself in any way put pressure on the ger. Va'atim yidatim, and you know, es nefesh ha-ger, what it's like to be a ger. Ki gerim ha-yisim eres b'tzraim, because you were a ger in eres b'tzraim. So this pasuk doesn't seem to make very much sense. Don't pressurize a ger, because you were gerim in eres b'tzraim. Of course, if I were gerim in eres b'tzraim, I know what it means like to be a ger, why should I go and make a ger suffer? I know what it's like to suffer as a ger. And secondly, the pasuk says, the ger is silchot, straight after the pasuk, shoichad leisikach. Don't take bribery. What's bribery and corruption got to do with not pressurizing a ger? What's the connection between the pasukim? So Shemon HaToiv says that the bribery over here is not dealing with bribery in a regular trial in court. It's dealing with the bribery of the trials of life. And he said, this is a very, very potent lesson. He says, sometimes, Nebuch, Rachmana Litzlan, you have a situation where a young father dies and he leaves over a bunch of little orphans, and the Kehillah get together and they decide they have to go along and knock on the doors of the Balabatim in town, and they're going to put together a Karen. They're going to put together a amount of money that's going to look after the children. And people, they see the photos of little sweet children, and then Nebuch, these little kids in Shul are saying Kaddish and little chirpy voices, and it breaks everyone's heart, and everyone is only too happy to give money. Sometimes they'd go to one person and it hasn't moved him an iota. It means nothing to him. And he asks this person, does not mean anything to you? Nebuch, Yisoimim, young Yisoimim. He said, excuse me, this child had a father till he was 10. My father died when I was 7. And I made it. And if I can make it, he can make it too. There's no reason why I've got to start worrying about this guy's future. Look at me today, Baruch Hashem, I'm okay. Well, I've got to worry about this kid. I make it, he can make it. The problem of going through an experience is such that the shoichad, the fact that one's own life experience can blind us, and we can think to ourselves, because we have this particular set of skills, the other person has the same skill set, and therefore they can manage through life the same as me. Says a pasuk, no, don't allow this shoichad, don't allow this bribery to blind you. V'ger leisilchotz, don't pressurize a ger. Even though you went through that same troubles yourself, even though we're living in Golos, and we've been through a terrible Holocaust, been through terrible times, don't say to yourself, listen, we managed, so this ger is living today in a little bit difficult times, he'll manage too. No, there's no such thing. You've got to take each person for their needs, and take yourself out of the picture sometimes, and help that person for whatever he needs. That is a connection. The connection over here, the first lesson is, number one, that a person who's not an elchiyid, a person not keep straight within the mitzvahs, he's not only transgressing ben odom lechaveroi, ultimately there's a lack in his ben odom lemokin. This person is not considered a person who is a God-fearing person, certainly not, but certainly doesn't even believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Secondly, is a concept that ultimately, a person from position to position in life can forget where he is. All the lessons he learned beforehand, he can switch around. And these people have been through Golos 210 years, can they themselves be the worst slave masters? Right? And over here as well, a person goes through an experience. The Shoichad Lisikach, don't be blinded. Just because you went through that and you survived, don't use your lessons to allow it to blind you, that not to help the other person in need. And the same thought carries on. The pasuk carries on and it talks about what happens if an eved ivri is treated in the correct way. And it's halachas how to treat him. And the master treats him in the correct way, gives him priority to his needs. The Gemara says, Ki toiv le imo, is going to be good by the master. If there's one cold beer in the fridge and they don't want to share it, then their slave gets it. There's various different halachas. And the master treats him correctly. And the pasuk carries on, and the pasuk says eventually, "Vim omar yoyma ha'eved." in Perachal Falef Pasuk Hey, if the Eved says again and again, Ahavti es Adoni, I love my master, es Ishti ves Bonai, my wife and my children, Lo Yetzeh Chofshi, I'm not going out, and I'm happy to stay here. There's a Pasuk, V'higishoy Adoni of Elohim, the master takes him to the Dayonim, V'higishoy Eladeles Oile Mezuzah, he's going to take his ear to the wall, to the Deles, to the Mezuzah, V'rotza Adoni ves Ozim Matzeh V'avodi Lo'ilom, and he becomes an Eved forever. Asks Oznayim LaTorah again, what is Peshat over here of taking an Eved that you love and making a hole in his ear? What's the idea behind that? He said more than that. There's a halacha that you can't do that through a shliach. The master can't say, listen, I'm busy. You know, I'll make a shliach, let Beis Din make a hole in your ear. No, the master himself, Ratzah Adoinov, he's got to go along, V'gishay Adoinov Elalekim, he's got to go and he's got to take it and make the hole in the ear. Why? Why can't he get it through a... Why can't he get it done through a shliach? And even if you want to say that the slave, to some kind of extent, deserves the punishment of getting his ears pierced, because the Pasuk says, this deles, that the ear that heard, Noich Hashem Lekechu, it should be a slave, he took a slave. You took a master for yourself. In other words, Hashem should be a master, Ahas Sinai. And you take a master underneath Rabbeinu Shleilam, it deserves to get punished. But it's not a nice thing for the Odoin to pierce the ear. Why is the Odoin doing it over here? So Zayin Torah says again, human nature. Human nature is such that you can get a person who behaves well to somebody else. It could be that Odoin is doing exactly what he's supposed to do, but it can reach a stage where a different position in life brings with it a whole new set of trials and tribulations. He said this Odoin could be treating him nicely. But do you know why he's treating him nicely? Maybe he wants him to stay on longer. You know, one's always nervous at the second... when a president has his second term, you never know what he's going to come up with in the second term. He can be very, very pro-Israel or very anti-capitalist, whatever it is, the first time round. The second time round, ultimately he's got nothing to lose. That's it. You know, he'll be parks named after him, there'll be... But he's got nothing to lose. He's happy to show who he really is. He said this Odoin is set up for a second term. He can be a master for the second term. If the Eved votes him as a good Odoin, he can keep him for another a longer period of time. He said, but after that period of time, once he gets to Yovel, that's it. He has to kick him out. He can't stay any longer. In other words, this is coming towards the end of the Odoin. Says the Torah, I'm warning you, Eved. I'm warning you, you may like this guy, and he may have treated you well, but that's only during the first term. Who knows, once he says, I want to stay, and you make a hole in his ear, he can't leave now until Yovel. Do you know how he's going to treat you then? Says the Torah, you know what we should do? Show a little bit of cruelty by the Odoin. Let the Odoin take his ear, and show the Odoin, show the Eved, that you should know that this is what you should expect. A lot of verbal abuse. A lot of points into your ear. Yeah? A lot of little pricks in your ear, because now you are stuck there. But what are you talking about? It's the same modern. He's been fantastic all this time. Yes. Different nisyonos, different chapters of life bring with it different tests completely. And therefore, take the Odin. The Odin himself has got to go. And he's got to see it with his own eyes at everything. He can still backtrack. He's got to see it with his own eyes. And he sees what the Odin is about to do to him, that this guy can suddenly turn not so gentle, not so nice. I'm warning you, says the Torah. There's only one Odin you can rely on, and that's the Rabbeinu Shlomo. Actually, to Sichah Meres Mitzrayim. He is the Odin you can rely on. Don't rely on anybody else. Human nature is so fickle that unless we work on ourselves the whole time, I should toss them with name. Unless we work on ourselves the whole time, we cannot guarantee that from day to day we're going to be the same nice people. I just want to finish off with a very, very strong vote from Rav Shimon Schwab. And it talks about the strength of Hashkofa, the strength of making sure that we ourselves are attuned to what we should be doing, because otherwise the results, not only on our neighbors, not only on those people we're dealing with in business, on our own family can have catastrophic events. He says, if you look in Perek Chof Aleph, Posat Tesvov, the Pasuk says, Umake Oviv Ve'imoy Mosyumos. A person who, Chas V'Shalom, hits his father or mother, he wounds them, Mosyumos, you should be put to death. What death is that? Chenek. Yeah? Chenek. Strangulation. Next Pasuk, Pasuk Tezayin, V'goinev Ish Umachoroi, a person who steals, kidnaps somebody and sells him, V'nimsa B'yodoi, and you find him in that person's possession, Mosyumos, he shall die. Also, chenek. The next pasuk, umakalel oviv imoy mois yumos, and a person who curses his father and mother, mois yumos, he shall die. Asks Rav Shimon Schwab, why is this random pasuk, as it were, in the middle of these two halachas? It would have made much more sense to say umake oviv imoy mois yumos, umakalel oviv imoy mois yumos, and this halach of kidnapping can come somewhere else down in the Torah. Why smack in the middle of these two pasukim? So some, there are mafarshim and say the Torah and Torah says because Makke Oviv Imoy is Chenek, and Goinev Ish Mechoroi is Chenek, and Makalel is ready with Skila, so if you want to put two halachos of Chenek together after the Skila, but that's not the case, because otherwise, put the din of Makke Odom, the Goinev Odom before the two, why does it have to be in the middle there? So Rav Shimon Schwab says like this, he says, how can it possibly be that a child who received an education from his parents, a child who receives fostering love from his parents, the parents have brought him up, the parents have fed him, the parents have cared for him, the parents have had sleepless nights of him, they've clothed him, how can it be that a person like that can hit his parents? Make oviv ve'imoy, how can he hit his father? How can he hit your mother? How low can a person get? Furthermore, the pasuk says makalel oviv ve'imoy, he curses them, he curses them with what? With HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. How can he do such a thing? How can you take a Kodesh Baruch on your side, as it were, in order to fight against your parents, to make them suffer? How can a person do such a thing? Says Rav Shimon Schwab, you know why? Because sometimes the parents didn't get it. The parents did not understand that there are certain stages of chinuch. There are different levels of life that a child is in. And the way you treat a child when he's young is different to the different level that a child is when he's older. The halacha is a person will not hit a child, chas v'shalom, in any time out of anger. But a person will not hit a child if he's older, if it's chas v'shalom, he'll fight back and be maka oviv imoy. A parent who does not understand that there's different stages of life in his own child can reach a stage where that parent could be like goynev ishu mechori. They've kidnapped, this child can feel as if he's kidnapped. He feels such pressure. He feels his parents have stolen his youth from him. They've stolen his position of making decisions himself. He's not allowed to express himself. He's not allowed to be himself. He's not allowed to live in the world that he's entitled to. Says a pasuk, I'm just warning you. Make oviv ve'imoy. And mekal oviv ve'imoy can come from the pasuk because of a person going of ishu mechori. It's because you've taken your child and he doesn't feel that you've given him the correct chances in life. You've stolen from him his opportunity to grow and to flourish. Every stage in life has its different trials and tribulations. Every person in the world has his own unique sets of challenges and his own unique potential. And even if a person has a particular standing and one day it can change the next day with his new position, this is what the parasha is telling us. The parasha is telling us that be careful. Don't rely on who you are. Don't rely on where you're holding. We've got to have tosin lifnayim, get clear the mitzvahs, get clear munim betochen Hashem runs the world. And that is the only way to guarantee that we will have, be'ezus Hashem, a life where we can educate our children properly, we can educate ourselves properly, to run a life of ben odom lechaveiroi and ben odom lemokoi, and that we should be an am segula, a light unto the nations.